Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. Let's take a look at crude oil early on this afternoon, on this Monday, February 7th. Looks like it's $91. But over the last 6 months, obviously, the big story has been crude going up nearly 40%. So let's get a little bit more commentary on whether or not we should expect to see energy prices continue to go up. For more on that, we've got Troy Vincent, DTN senior market analyst, joining us from Louisville. It's great to have you on the show, Troy. Simple question here, I guess. Should we expect to see oil prices continue to go higher from here? Because it's been a remarkable 6 months so far.
I mean, I certainly think there's room for positioning to continue to, you know, be more bullish in the coming weeks, particularly on the speculative side of the market. You know, I think there's been a lot of people that have kind of held out that particularly, you know, that in past cycles may have already been in on this oil cycle, but that have been so hesitant, whether it's for the ESG narrative pushing back against oil prices or, you know, renewable growth, et cetera, all of the essentially, you know, bearish kind of macro themes for oil. But yeah, so I think for multiple reasons, there's still room to go higher in the coming weeks.
Well, geopolitics certainly clouding the outlook, especially with what's playing out over in Russia and Ukraine. How much of that disruption you think has already been priced in when you look at where oil is trading today? I realize part of that is really more of a natural gas story, but how much do you think prices push higher if, in fact, there's some kind of military activity?
I mean, I certainly think, at the end of the day, ultimately, it does come down to, you know, how extensive the military action, becomes. But I certainly think, you know, you could see a 10, 15% run higher in crude prices if, in fact, you know, you did begin to see some type of hot war, and they could even go much higher than there if, you know, a hot war were to expand and, you know, the U.S. were to sanction oil exports from Russia, for example, things along that line. So I certainly think, you know, we're in a precarious situation. You know, one of the bigger themes moving into 2022 is this potential for OPEC spare capacity to be much smaller, particularly by the time we get to summer, than what we've seen in many years, you know, that would bring it kind of back to that 2018 level. And anytime you have a scenario where you have spare production capacity limited, whether it's a weather event, you know, like hurricanes, or it's a geopolitical event, you know, like a hot war or terrorist events, et cetera, there's just so much more potential for upside in price action and response, and price just becomes far more sensitive to any type of, you know, even potential development that could be disruptive to supply.
Let's talk a little bit more about OPEC, because my understanding is that OPEC Plus did agree on a March output rise. So how do you think that's going to weigh on not only, I guess, the price of barrels, but also the prices that consumers pay at the pump? Because the statistic is what? The national average for a gallon of gas, highest level than in more than 7 years last Friday.
Yeah, I mean, so OPEC is, you know, they're in a very precarious situation at the moment where they have been agreeing for months now to increase production by this 400,000 barrel per day mark and lifting, you know, slowly but steadily every month that quota or that allotment. However, there are a number of players within OPEC that just haven't been able to deliver. And, Angola, Nigeria are kind of key to that, outlook or that development and the underproduction. But as we move particularly into the spring and summer, you know, that those members that are underproducing are going to, you know, go under even further scrutiny. And it's going to be even more important to the global market whether or not they can bring crude back, that supply back. And Russia even is becoming a player that is likely to not be able to increase production materially here over the coming months. So you're in a situation where although OPEC is agreeing to, you know, in word to increase production by 400,000 barrels per day per month, you know, by this point, they're actually underproducing somewhere around 700,000 barrels per day as a group relative to what they're supposed to be or what they're allowed to be producing, if you will, under that, output agreement that they've been growing by that 400,000 barrel per day pace in recent months.
Troy, I mean, you've introduced a lot of layers here, potential drivers for oil prices over the last few minutes. I mean, bottom line, is $100 a barrel, is that pretty much inevitable at this point?
I wouldn't say it's inevitable, but I think it's going to be very easy to get there. As I said, you know, there are a number of factors. I've got to bring this up, I guess, as well. You know, you've still got member or institutions like the EIA, for example, that are saying that prices, you know, in their last short-term energy outlook, now we have a new one coming out tomorrow, which may adjust things likely, but in their latest issuance from early January, you know, they were calling for the price of oil to top in January. And so from their perspective, you should have already seen the high for the year. However, you know, investment banks, hedge funds, et cetera, that have been paying a little more attention to both slow production growth returning, you know, the slow production growth and the return of production in the U.S., as well as the seemingly inability for a number of OPEC and OPEC plus members to, you know, increase production along the lines that we just discussed previously, that are seeing a much different picture as we move into 2022 than the EIA is, for example, in their outlook. So I think that, you know, that potential for this big divergence in outlooks also just creates, you know, the potential that you see prices whip higher in a much more rapid pace, you know, than we've seen even in recent weeks.
And we will certainly be watching for any changes to that outlook from the EIA. Troy Vincent, DTN Senior Market Analyst, it's good to talk to you today. Appreciate the time.